Thank you for joining us here on State of Play. We're having a slightly unusual conversation, but I doubt if we've had this game matter conversation on State of Play before. But on the back of what happened yesterday, I don't know if you've listened. We'll talk about this after.
The explosive exchange between... It wasn't even an exchange.
It was just the explosion that we saw manifested by the communications minister when...
But nothing happened. Parliament records.
Mm-hmm. So it has been expunged, of course.
Yeah, it's been expunged.
Yeah, I get it. But
of course it happened. Yeah, but you watched it.
Of course.
And so, yes, a lot of, technically Parliament could have been citing media houses for contempt of Parliament, since that it didn't happen.
Well, we reported it. We reported the fact that it happened. We reported the fact that the...
It's been expunged.
Expunged.
But, that was just, by the way, the fact that all of you saw it, and there's been lots of conversations.
But you know what it shows? Mm-hmm. If you watch that clip of Esla Wusu's outrage at the comments that, by the way, were not directly in the microphone, but was somehow captured by a hot microphone, and her desire to separate herself from the accusations that apparently had been leveled that she's a practitioner of LGBTQ, that passion that she showed, that anger, that outrage, shows you how no politician wants to even be seen as even staying neutral. Because you see, if you listen to Murtala Mohammed, the allegation goes that he was passing this comment to the... He said what he only admits to is that the primary conversation was happening, revolved around, he claimed that those who are quiet, who are not speaking out, that he found that to be a problem, that they should be forced to speak up. And then, of course, the speaker caught him saying something. He wanted him to withdraw. And then Esla obviously got up because she thought she had heard her name, because she later also withdrew the comments. But that outrage shows you that nobody wants to be associated with the subject of gay or lesbian.
No, I mean, look, Evans, let's
that is why we're having this conversation.
Look, let me tell you
why. No MP will dare oppose it, and this will go to passage, hands down.
If you dare oppose it, my guy, you will lose your election.
I mean, yesterday the speaker did exactly that.
Yes.
He threw the challenge. He threw the challenge to any MP on the floor right now, on the floor yesterday.
Yeah.
Who is opposed to the bill? Stand up and be counted.
Nobody stood up.
Nobody dare.
No, you can't stand up. You see, I mean, there are people, there are some persons in private conversations may raise one or two issues or tell you about how they feel certain provisions of the bill are not the best. You can't say it. You see, the reason you can't say it is that, and this is one of the things where I say, I wish our leaders would always be like this. I wish our parliamentarians would always be like this. Because this is the time you hear the people saying, this is the kind of law we want passed. You hear majority of Ghanaians saying, we want you to overwhelming majority saying, we want you to legislate against, LGBTQ plus. And our MPs are doing that.
Exactly that.
They're doing just that. And so I know members of parliament who are supposed to have traveled. They didn't travel. They actually went to parliament. They spoke. Because everybody wants to be heard speaking against
it. And you dare. And if somebody wants to really destroy your political career, is to whisper in the grapevine of rumor that this MP didn't come to parliament today because he's opposed to it in silence and does not really want to be seen in the house and be forced to say something about it. That whisper can cost your political career.
It can.
And that is why I return to the Esla Wusu thing. That's why I started there. It for me, it answers all the questions around why this bill will be passed, and it will be passed in spite of the fact that there are at least three cases before the courts.
Evans, people have gone through primaries, and their campaign was that because they are sponsoring this bill, people are trying to, get him out of parliament. I mean, Sam George, for instance, made the point that he would be naive not to admit that, that particular...
Helped
his cause.
Yeah.
Okay, you heard Roxon, he was on PM Express. Roxon Nelson, Dapiamapo, make that point. Look, in Asin North, he was even played out there. In Asin North, okay, it became a campaign there as to who needed this the most because some people wanted to use this to support. It's all part of the, you know, our body politic today. And it's part of the real politic. It's part of the propaganda today. You cannot, unless that MP wants to leave parliament.
And here's the thing. People say in Ghana it's a human rights issue. I say it's less of a human rights issue and more of a political issue. The gay issues is purely, and whether or not we would pass explicit legislation to ban it and to criminalize it, it's purely, for me, more, but almost 90% of that conversation is a political one. Because of the overwhelming numbers, the Christian population will be opposed to you. The Muslim population, two of them alone, if you combine, you are close to 98% of the population checked out. And those two bodies alone, your leaders, have said that going into 2024, they will not tolerate politicians sitting on the fence on this one. You are either clearly and explicitly backing the bill and speaking against LGBTQ practice in Ghana, or you are, your silence will be interpreted to mean you are in support of it. So politicians have been left in a place where you cannot take a middle ground on this one. You have to necessarily speak up against it. And you see, and here's why, this is for me why I think this topic is interesting. Between the MPP and the NDC, I think the NDC has been very deliberate in pitching themselves, but they are in opposition. They, you know, because when you're in government, although you are for the bill, you also have other obligations, international obligations that, you know, you have to meet. And so you cannot be as bombastic as a opposition party in pushing it. And that's why we've seen the president sometimes trying to walk a fine line when he's speaking on international.
He says the parliament,
he's trying to work a fine line because you know that. But the NDC has couched itself now as a party most dedicated to the passage of this act and to the opposition to LGBTQ because it wins them favor, overwhelming favor in the eyes of the Christian population, in the eyes of the Muslim population, and that will be a key factor going into the 2024 elections. And it will play out. As we've seen in the party's own primaries, the MPs who are sponsoring the bill, all of them wrote on the back of their campaign. Yeah. And the suggestion that they were being victimized for the campaign, and that, Sam Joel was clear, that played out in their campaigns. And with the exception of the one of the sponsors, the female who lost in the Volta region, I've forgotten her name. All of them won, right? And all of them won handsomely. I think
Delasua.
I mean, she lost out. Roxanne and Afemipo were worried what will happen to him because he himself has complained, but he won. And that is a signal for me for 2024 that if you're an MP, you should be. And again, sorry, because I know something again happened today that was interesting. The Deputy Education Minister, who, by the way, is the only MPP member of parliament in the list of sponsors of the bill, has been very quiet, although his name is on the list. Yesterday, he spoke at the press conference.
I was going to get to that. He spoke because, look, post-Asinov, I'm sure the MP would have realized that this is a major issue.
And by the way, his constituency is in the General Asin area as well.
Exactly. Now, post he's at Asin South. The MP would have realized that this is a major issue and you cannot take a middle ground position.
Yeah.
Look, you've had members of the NPP, who have said, oh, I am in support of the bill. But when it is seen out there, yes, you're in support of the bill, but the people actually expect you to openly be out there. And so he, as part of the sponsors of the bill, is important for him to also be seen making a point. And consistently, you have Alban Bagbin, Speaker of Parliament, saying, we will pass this bill. And I mean, it's one of the few things that whenever he says, Ghanaians don't take him on and say, Mr. Speaker, you are going against the law. Why don't you wait? So all of a sudden, all of us do not see anything that is going wrong when it comes to that bill. And when it happens like that, yes, you probably may make the point that, look, or it gets to a point where society, you know, should be able to tolerate divergent views, and so there are people who should come in and say, no, enough, I don't support this. But the society would not give you a chance to say that you don't support this. For me, I want to digress a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Feel free.
Christian Council, the Muslims, the clergy, the Islamic clerics. Thank you. But it shouldn't end there. Now we know that you have a voice.
The power is
now
tremendous.
We know that you can actually speak. Don't only speak on things that are against things that your Quran. No, don't speak against just one of the things that the Quran and the Bible speak against. The Bible speaks against stealing. The Quran speaks against stealing. We can see that they are, our leaders are fleecing the nation. Speak against that too. Okay, speak against that too. When things are taken to parliament that you believe are not the right things, speak against that too. Don't all of us, don't pretend you don't see them. For me, that's the most important thing. In the midst of all of these things, what I see is that there are other things that are not going well in this country. And you don't find the voice of conscience. You don't find people speaking against it. Mm-hmm. You find people pretending nothing is happening. You find people pretending all is okay. That is not how you build a country. Today, all of us are talking about this. Today, all of us are saying, and even those who were against it went to parliament to speak. Those who had raised human rights questions went to parliament to throw
everybody,
their weight
behind. All the human rights voices.
Yes, Vigo, you cannot say you don't support it. So I am saying, let it not end there. Let this shape our democracy. Let this tell us that enough against, enough of the here, speak no evil.
And you're right, because yesterday the clergy, they were there in the public gallery to send a signal to the MPs that we are watching.
Yes.
And they were watching to find out which MP would dare stand up on their feet when the speaker invited them to oppose it. Mm. And of course, nobody stood up because they were there. But you made a very fundamental point that there are so many issues in this country that we've said, is left to, the governance, civil society organizations and individuals to push. Most of the clergy has remained absolutely quiet. Yeah. The Christian population, the Christian leadership, the Muslim leadership, they've been very quiet on some of these very controversial issues. But this is a very controversial matter. But I see it's also a campaign of convenience, because research shows that it's not as divisive as the other subjects that you are inviting them to take on, right? It's not as divisive. There's unanimity.
Yeah.
So when you have a unanimous position on a subject, it's easy to pitch your camp on the side of those who are opposing it.
Yeah.
CDD's report, over 90% of Ghanaians are opposed to LGBTQ. Their attitude towards LGBTQ is negative, right? So that's an easy place to pitch your camp. So for the religious groups, this is easy. But when a subject is controversial, when a subject has to do with whether to prosecute that equation or not, when a subject has to do with whether to pass an act which is controversial, such as even now the subject of whether or not to amend the constitution to have dual citizens hold certain political office in Ghana, it's now there's unanimity, there's a consensus around that. But there are certain very critical controversial matters that divide this country straight down the middle. And that's where, on most of it on political lines, that is where the clergy has failed to come in. And here's the thing, and let's sound a bit more religious. Jesus said, when you stand for the truth, he was stoned to death. It wasn't comfortable for him to stand alone and challenge the system then. The real character of the church in Ghana, and let this extend it to me, the Christian community, is when they stand in opposition.
Yeah.
To the things that are very controversial and divide this country down the middle, and they take a stand and they use that same force they've deployed in pushing the LGBTQ in standing against them.
Yeah, you see.
Right? But can they do it?
Well, they should be able to do it. We're having this conversation the last time.
Because they'll be attacked.
No, we're having this conversation the last time. And we're talking about how, pastors go to the president sometimes and they tell him how things are going on so well in the country. And we ask, are you also in the country? Do they feel what we feel? And then we said it was time. I was having this conversation with Raymond on the Super Morning Show. We said it was time. These clergy, the men of God, actually should run a poll in their churches before they go to the president or before they go talk about the conditions in the country. Because then, democracy should prevail. Whether if the majority says that's the situation, you do what? You go and represent their views. So today, you have made the point. Yes, because this is one point that this is one situation where all of us are united. And we make the point. Okay. So that is easy. But that's where the voice of conscience comes in. your conscience will tell you sometimes, I mean, this is not the case. I don't like it when people send journalists information.
Yeah.
And say, discuss this. And you tell them, oh, are you prepared to speak? They say, oh, no, you speak. No. This one, nobody sent me any message that I should speak. They are willing to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, in all the cases, all of us will speak. You to speak. Don't just go to sleep because you think that this is a controversial issue.
Why? But they'll be vilified. They'll be attacked.
No, but that is because, you see, when you stand for the truth, people will attack you.
Mm.
But your conscience is clean.
And that is the true definition of a Christ-like individual.
Yes. You're standing
for carrying the cross.
Exactly.
You carry cross. The cross.
So Jesus Christ stood for the truth. Jesus Christ died for you and me, that we may have salvation and have eternal life. You, the one who is leading the flock, should also be prepared to make sacrifices. Don't pretend that you don't know the path where Jesus Christ sacrificed. We are not saying go and kill yourself. No, nobody has said go and die. All we have said is that when things are not right, be bold enough to speak. Don't just speak when it suits you. Because this, I mean, look, this is an issue that everybody is in favor of. So it's easy. There are issues people are not in favor of. But you should be able to speak and speak against it. You should be able to play a major role in the governance of this country. Let the clergy begin to play that role in the governance of this country. Let them not go to sleep when certain issues come up, and then they find their voice when others come up. No, that's not the way to go about it.
You know, and that's one of the things that have even divided the two political parties. You remember now we have NDC pastors and MPP pastors. You know that?
Yeah.
The NDC have arrogated to themselves a certain group of individuals in the clergy that they believe support them. And there was a time when they will go all out. They'll go all out to attack a certain pastor because of the view that pastor isn't one of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had a situation where even among the clergy, there's a political division there. Whether it's perceived, whether it's real, it is an issue that is out there that we've seen play out. But recently, talking about, I guess when I was trying to look for this recent case where the president appointed this gentleman to the Electoral Commission, one of the commissioners, who it was reported was a known activist on the MPP, and the civil society guys did a press conference to condemn it.
As I recall
correctly, the Christian Council backed that particular call for
something to be done about that because they were concerned.
That particular guy's appointment would be problematic.
Yes.
I mean, they have dared.
I remember at the peak of the economic crisis, we saw some of the churches issuing statements to try and,
nudge government to do the right thing. The point is,
whatever that is, we haven't seen enough of.
No. See, I mean, you're right. I mean, there are instances you see them, some of them coming up and issuing statements. The Catholic Bishop Conference has been doing very well when it comes to that. Let me just indicate that they have spoken, and they've spoken about some of the hardships in the country. You see in other churches, the Methodist Church, how many times they've done, some of the people them have talked about it. But the reality is that we don't have enough voices within the Christian community when it comes to the real situations in the country and the hardships in the country. Yes, we know.
But should the clergy enter into the arena of politics?
This is not entering into the arena of politics. Truth to power.
Well, but it could also somebody's political.
No, it is not promoting. Look, the clergy will be telling the government, or the clergy will be telling everybody. And so, what is going to happen is that the clergy becomes that strong force, the voice of reason and the voice of conscience, when they tell you that things are not going right.
For example, you think for on the subject as controversial, I say, what's the most one of the most controversial issues in this country?
Ijapa.
You think the clergy on the LGBTQ matter, on the LGBT, they were clear that we will vote against you and we will campaign using the pulpit to get our members to vote against you if you do not support the bill. They said that explicitly, okay. You think the clergy can actually issue that threat? And say on the Japa issue statement and say, if you still back a Japa, if you insist on pushing Japa through, we would vote against you. You think they can do that?
The clergy can say that if you fleece the state.
Yeah, but where's the evidence?
So they must find it. I mean, it's not difficult. You, the clergy, they have committees. In the church, they have, I mean, the clergy can actually get people to voice, to actually do a report and tell them, what is this whole deal about?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people are talking about it. What is it all about? Then they can form an opinion. And based on that opinion, issue a statement that says, hold on a minute, you think you must take a second look at this. I mean, the clergy may not be, will not go out and say, we'll vote against you. But they can make
But they said that in the LGBTQ matter.
That's,
why can't they say? But if you're asking them to
morality,
be more...
That's morality issue. Let me continue with this one. So they can actually come out and say, hold on a minute. We think that certain parts of this agreement are not the best. And we don't support it in the interest of the state. If you continue, we would actually advise our members to look at you and see you as one who's not interested in their welfare. When they begin to do that, of course, there's always this fear about, okay, when you start this kind of thing, people are going to leave the church because many people are politicized and everything.
But that will happen, right? But that will
but
definitely happen.
But the reality
happen.
Today, Evans.
Because you have NDC MPP members of
Evans,
the church.
Evans,
if you take a position that
Evans, is I'm going to tell you something that will shock you.
Mm-hmm.
Today, okay, today, go to some of our schools, mm-hmm. speak to the young ones. And it's the reason you've had Reverend Tim Fojo and Sam George make
yes,
the point
yes,
that
yes.
You know, the schools should be careful. Evans, go there, speak to them, speak to the young ones, and listen to the things they tell you. The number of them who are willing to try some of these activities, okay? I mean, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked that if we ever thought that there were a lot of Ghanaians who were, I mean, oh, this is something that is not happening, and this is some people just thinking that people are engaged in LGBTQ. Go to our universities, go to our secondary schools, speak to the young ones, and you would find out that many of them see nothing wrong with this, particularly the young girls.
And another thing that comes to politics. So this law is passed. You know, but in this country, the biggest problem we face is implementation, the enforcement, right? You think that politicians, after the law is passed, will have the guts to strictly enforce this law? Going into an election, of course, where the clergy is wielding that whip over them.
They will.
You know,
they will enforce
they
it.
They might.
Oh, you see, that's what I'm saying. That's what, yes, you see, that's what I'm saying. The clergy should also enforce other things, should hold them accountable to other things, not just LGBTQ. Not just that one. Because you see, when you hold them accountable, now you would become a powerful force within the country and would applaud you. Because you see, you may not go out there and say we'll vote against you, but you may speak against it. And when you consistently speak against something, offer solutions, you become part of the governance process. You're not part of the, I mean, you're not engaged in partisan politics, you're engaged in governance. For me, that's the most important thing. I see. Let's get into our message.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Shasta, there's a message. I think you are underestimating the hardship in the country. Massa, people are going to vote on bread and butter issues. Well, that's true. But I tell you that if this LGBTQ becomes a central point in elections and is campaigning, well, the very highly religious folks will vote on that as well. Yoyu says, Evans, we don't want any other voice to speak. Emmanuel say, how does the Jachikwesin case before the law court become controversial? It is either we are a nation of law or we're not. Well, it is controversial because there's another side that disagree with it going forward. So there are two different multiple sides of this. That's what makes it controversial. Homosexuality, just don't confuse homosexuality to politics in Ghana. You can have divergent views on politics, but not on homosexuality, of course. We agree with that.
We agree, but all we're saying is that now on other issues, okay, the clergy must also speak. Because there are times you can actually see that things are not going well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep quiet. Speak. I mean, this is nothing. I mean, this is not too much to ask for. Yeah, speak.
You're doing it already, so
yeah,
extend
speak.
It to other areas.
And Abdulaziz Abdulrazak says, it is on point. Our religious leaders must keep strong oversight on our political leaders for a good system. Mm. What else do you have?
Kesta. This is on a Joy FM viewing live stream handle there, says on Facebook. It says, Evans, I think we need to research into why LGBTQ issues strike a different chord in religious groups and average citizens. Our professors can help. Maybe we can leverage on the findings of such a research and situate corruption, galamsey, and other ills of this society in the right context for the needed attention. Suhini Imran Hassan says, I think the speaker did well in advancing the cause of the promoters of the bill. And that's what he's done since came before him in Parliament. Hmm.
So look, Iceland says that, look, yes, it's good. Here we are. As a country, we've reached a consensus. We must reach consensus on other issues. It mustn't just be this one. And so the clergy and all of us who found our voice to speak, let's continue speaking. Mm. Let's not go to sleep after this one. Don't be sending journalist messages at night. I talk about things.
And then they don't talk themselves.
And then you don't want to talk yourself.
Yeah, well.
Talk. Mm. Let all of us talk. Mm. Let all of us speak. After all, we are all Ghanaians.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day.